This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today in the world of professional sports, which has become kind of a bellwether for whether some normalcy is possible during a global pandemic. The number of New England Patriot football players opting out of the 2020 NFL season due to the coronavirus is now up to 6, including star linebacker and defensive captain Dante Hightower. And the Red Sox are off to a miserable start to their coronavirus-shortened season, dropping 4 of their first 5 games with one of their starting pitchers out due to coronavirus complications. The world is watching, and not just the games, to see who will win in the matchup between professional sports and the coronavirus. So here to give us a read on what's happening is Radio Boston's Chris Sidorek. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Tiziana. Thanks for having me. Spoiler alert, the news is not good on that front. We'll get into that, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, so let's start with football, and I'm going to ask you about the Patriots players opting out, the same question I've been asking so often during this pandemic. How big a deal is this?
So I'm going to answer your favorite question with probably your least favorite answer, which is it depends. I think you mentioned, I know, we're still in the midst, obviously, of a global pandemic, and I don't think anybody really knows exactly what the future is going to bring. We've heard a lot of talk about a possible second wave in the fall, and we're going to be seeing college students returning to campuses in a lot of places, kids going back to schools in some places. So I think it all of this discussion really depends on what the next few weeks and the next few months bring for us. We may not even have a football season. So with that huge caveat at the beginning of this answer, I would say on the field, it is actually a pretty big deal for the Patriots just because of the names of the players who have said they are opting out this year. You mentioned Dante Hightower. He's basically the quarterback of the defense. He's the guy who's out on the field calling the plays for the defense, moving guys around when they need to move. He's one of the true leaders on this team. Coach Belichick has named him Mr. February for all of his big plays in the postseason and Super Bowls. You also have Patrick Chung, who's kind of unheralded, but I think a big contributor who never really gets the recognition he deserves for the kind of flex role he plays on this team. You've got Marcus Cannon, who's been a pretty steady presence on the offensive line. Brandon Bolden, who's a special teams contributor. So you've got some pretty big name players who have said they will not be playing this year for the Patriots.
And clearly players who understand what the impact is of opting out. So what are they saying about this decision, about why they're doing it when they know what it's going to do to the team?
Yeah, totally. And it depends on the individual player. So in Dante Hightower's case, he just had a child about a month ago, and he says he thinks it's the right move for his family not to expose themselves to this kind of risk. Patrick Chung's wife is also expecting. You've also got a guy like Marcus Cannon, who is a cancer survivor. He is in that high-risk category should he get the coronavirus. So he's stepping away for health reasons. And basically, the league has said players can opt out for whatever reason they want. They don't have to specify why. Anybody who opts out gets the $150,000 base salary at the beginning of the year. And if they're in a high-risk category like a Marcus Cannon, they would get $350,000 at the beginning of the year. And then the rest of whatever they would have been paid this year basically just gets rolled over to next year. And I did want to note, I think it's interesting, the first player who decided to opt out of this upcoming season, and he did so literally hours after the league reached this agreement with players, was Kansas City Chiefs guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who's actually a doctor. And I just wanted to read a portion of the statement that he put out when he announced his decision. "Being at the front line during this offseason has given me a different perspective on this pandemic and the stress it puts on individuals in our healthcare system. I cannot allow myself to potentially transmit the virus to our communities simply to play the sport I love. If I am to take risks, I will do it caring for patients." So pretty powerful sentiment there.
So you said earlier there might not be a football season. Are players opting out all over? Is that what is putting a season at risk?
Not yet, per se. The Patriots, you mentioned, have 6 players who have said they're opting out. There are only, at my last count today, 25 players league-wide who have said they're opting out. So there could be a couple of factors here. It's hard to guess at internal motivations for these decisions, but Belichick is known as a coach who's always trying to figure out an advantage, however small. It could be possible. He said, if you're going to opt out, tell me sooner rather than later so I know and can figure out what to do with the roster. It could be there's no deadline for players to opt out. So it could be that we'll see more opt outs as the calendar moves along here. But right now, the Patriots have a large chunk of the players who said they're not going to play this year.
All right. So let's turn our attention. We are Boston. You want to talk about the Red Sox?
No, I can't handle it. Come on. Don't do that to me.
All right. Well, we're going to have to. But let's just talk about baseball then for a second. Less than a week in. The world's been watching. It's the first pro sport really back. We've already seen the Miami Marlins season postponed after 17 people with the team have tested positive. I mean, so that's like a team that can't even play in this carefully orchestrated short season. How's baseball dealing with this? How will they?
I mean, in the long term, we have no idea. Again, we're in totally uncharted waters here. We've never dealt with anything like this. In the short term, they've basically put the Marlins on hold until August 3rd. They put the Phillies on hold until this weekend, who had been playing the Marlins when this news started to break. And they've had to already reshuffle the calendar because you've got teams like the Yankees and the Orioles who are supposed to play against these teams. So you have to do all of this kind of puzzling it out to figure out how to get as many games in as possible, especially when you have to put a couple of teams on the shelf. You're already talking about a condensed calendar, so there's limited time. The league has already said they're okay if they get to the end of the year and teams have not played an equal number of games, they'll deal with that. At that point, they would just rank teams by winning percentage versus actual numbers of wins. But really, in the long term, if this becomes a problem, if more than one team has a huge outbreak like this, I don't know how they make it work.
Yeah, once again, a bellwether, right, for so many other things.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people are watching to see if they can pull this off. All right,
yeah, and I've seen
I've
seen a lot of people say if a multi-billion dollar organization like baseball with thousands and thousands of tests being run over the course of a few days can't handle this, how does that change our thinking about college campuses and schools and things like that? Right. I think you're absolutely right. People are watching this pretty closely.
Exactly. And we will continue to, too. Before we let you go, though, I must torture you. We must
talk about our
team. I know. Let's talk about the Sox. The Sox.
It's been ugly. And it's an issue that we talked about last year. We talked about in the offseason. It's pitching. They have no pitching starters or bullpen, or they don't have enough anyway. They have a pretty solid lineup, which is interesting. And you would think that, okay, they should be able to hit their way into wins, and maybe they will in the long run over the course of the season. But so far, you can tell that the lack of pitching has really weighed on the offense. I want to play a cut here from Xander Bogaerts, who's known as being incredibly upbeat. He's a real leader in the clubhouse. He's a guy who's always kind of giving positive affirmation to folks and get them next time. Let's go do this. This is what he said after the loss on Monday.
It's tough. You know, obviously it's not just like one run, you know, it's a couple runs, and then they just find a way to add on some more before we can kind of get something going, you know, and it gets tough, you know.
And if you see the video that goes with that, he's shoulder slumped. He is depressed. And you can tell this offense is putting extra pressure on themselves, knowing they don't have the pitching to hold the other team down. Hitting a baseball is often called one of the hardest things to do in professional sports. That's why if you can do it 3 out of 10 times, you're considered really good. And so if you have that added pressure of now you have to produce runs or this team will lose, that really starts to weigh on you. It makes it even harder.
All right. So, Chris, we've got a little less than a minute left. So let me just ask you, because that was depressing. Any rays of hope to leave us with the rest of Titletown's pro sports teams?
I do have a little bit of hope, and this is something people are kicking baseball for not doing. The NBA and the NHL have created bubbles for their players to bring their seasons back, both of which will start towards the end of the week here. I think that is at least the best hope that we have to try to get some normalcy going in the world of sports. Baseball should have looked at it, but I do think the NBA and the NHL are going to be able to return in that bubble, assuming everybody follows the rules and they maintain those health restrictions. We'll see if we can at least get through a couple of seasons.
All right, Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick, thanks.
Thanks for having me.